amazing.
Dude, just a painting on them. I don't know, I was creeping on eBay the other day and I saw like some original art, but it was going for like $8,500 right. or something.
Well, I see it all the time on the heritage auctions. They have all the original art from Erie's and Bernie Wrightson and stuff. Well, I told you what Swamp Thing 1 went for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the art.
Well, hello, here we are. This is the new improved Scary Dad podcast. We're going to be kind of rebooting the entire thing. We've got some good things in the works. I am your host, Scary Dad himself, and I'm here today with our new partner in crime, Mr. Scott Fontenot. What's going on, man?
Not much, buddy. Glad to be here.
And so, yeah, we're getting together for a little while here on a Tuesday, trying to get our new podcast recorded and uploaded before Halloween. This is our very special Halloween episode. And it's going to reboot kind of the entire Scary Dad experience. We've got some great things coming up that I'll be talking about momentarily. But first, before we go to where we're going, let me talk about where we've been. So essentially, the Scary Dad website started off just me talking about things that I enjoyed. And for a really long time, felt like I was just kind of speaking in a vacuum. I mean, there was other people out there, but they all seemed to live in either Idaho or Massachusetts or something. And I live in the deep, dirty South. It's 85 degrees at the end of October right now, so it is a little bit hard to get into those seasonal festivities. So I kind of get it, but anyway, basically what happened was. My love for Halloween and horror, kind of, you know, the old horror comics and magazines. I got involved into some groups on Facebook. One in particular called the Nerds of Anarchy is a local group here of some enthusiasts. And through that group, met Scott here. And within a few minutes of talking, we hit it off. We're both into the same things. We've got a lot of the same favorite artists, favorite stories, favorite movies. Sitting here at our podcast table, there is a 18-inch Nika Jason Voorhees that I'm pretty envious of. So he and I started talking. We got together and discussed kind of some things we wanted to do, and we're going to do them. And we'll unveil some ideas and some things we're going to do in future casts, but just let it be known that we got some great things in the works. And the first thing we're doing is revamping this Scary Dad podcast. So anyway, that's where we've been and this is where we're going. So I'm going to kick back for a second. I'm going to let Scott introduce himself and tell you just a little bit about himself and why he's joined the Scary Dad team here.
All right, thanks for introducing me there. My name is Scott, I'm Scary Dad number 2, and I will be the co-host for the new Scary Dad podcast we'll be bringing to you. And it's like Billy was saying, we want to almost start a movement and just try to pique people's interest, that love of everything horror, and that enjoyment of getting that adrenaline rush of being scared, whether it be movies or haunted houses or just wherever you're going to. It's something that I've always loved, and luckily for me, my kids inherited the same thing. So I have a wonderful 10-year-old daughter that loves going to haunted houses and has a beautiful imagination. She's going to be a drop bear this year for Halloween, which I found pretty interesting. Her. If you don't know what a drop bear is, go ahead and Google it, and it will add something else to your nightmare list. And of course, my son, he's 17, and he has the same fascination with all things horror. So really looking forward to the podcast. And getting started and seeing what we can do with it, where we can go.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, this being our very special Halloween episode and surrounded by Halloween decorations, toys, and books, we're just going to go right into it. Let's, again, I don't want it to be an interview sort of thing, but just to kind of grease the wheels here. What are some of your first Halloween memories? Like, was Halloween a big thing growing up at your house?
When I was growing up and very young, it wasn't. It was weird. One of my favorite Halloween pictures is a group picture with me and a bunch of cousins that went trick-or-treating. And the costume I had on, everyone was dressed up as clowns and witches and real nice costumes. And I had on a plastic Fonzie shirt that said A, and that was my Halloween costume at that time. And
sweet.
I guess when I turned 14 was when I really started getting a fascination of just of terror, of horror. You know, me and my cousin, we had we'd always enjoyed all the old horror B movies like Blood Diner and Basket Case and It's Alive. We'd rent them over and over again and watch them when we were young, and even delved into making some of our own little horror movies with our old VHS camcorder.
Nice.
And yeah, I've shared the Friday the 13th one with you, of course. And we had a few other ones besides that. And just as I grew up, it just my fascination with it. And then I discovered the artwork with Bernie Wrightson and other artists. And I just had I have a love of things that of the macabre. I don't know what it is. I'm a normal guy. I'm a dad, but I enjoy that kind of stuff.
You know, I'm kind of the same way. Halloween, when I was a kid, it was a thing. I mean, we went trick or treating and stuff, but it was not, you know, my parents didn't decorate the house or do a whole bunch. Seemed like everybody's house had that, you know, those couple of skeleton or witch from the 70s or whatever that's kind of, it's kind of funny though. You always have that one, I would say, traumatic experience. This one year, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and for whatever reason, my mom and her two sisters decided to get real into Halloween. And the three of them dressed up as witches, and I remember coming in and asking for some milk, and my aunt gave me green milk. And they were all just, they were totally in character, and they were cackling. Just cackling and laughing, and I didn't want to drink green milk, and I don't think I ever did. But, so, we ended up going to this haunted house, and there was this church haunted house. I mean, that's who used to do them. And it was it wasn't a church that we ever went to, but, you know, and my God, I'm still traumatized by this haunted house. We go in, and there's strobe lights everywhere, and they have a candy bowl, like a candy table, but whenever you reach for the candy, a hand comes out and tries to grab you. And we go in, and there's a doctor that's got a blood all over it and an axe, and then there's like a lady laying on a gurney, like holding on to her own guts. And it's like, I didn't see anything that realistic until like the Roseanne episodes came out, whenever they were extremely well done. But I remember to this day, like, just certain things in there. And like, they had ushers inside the halls, and they had flashlights covered in pantyhose, so like, you could see, but it wasn't
very clear.
And my mom didn't want to come out, so she handed me off to one of these ushers, which was in costume and a stranger. It freaked me the hell out. I remember just screaming, and I remember just being terrified. And it wasn't until later on I grew a little older and was like, man, that's cool. I want to make one of those. But, you know, I just like within like any kid, you know, we grew up with the Charlie Brown specials,
right, yeah,
and trick or treating and, you know, all of that fun stuff. So it's always, you know, as I've gotten older, and especially once I had my own kids, when my wife and I we didn't have kids, we'd go drink at the bars and costume parties and stuff, and that's always fun.
Right.
But it's gotten even more so since we've had the kids, because now the kid calls the shots on whose costume's what.
Yeah, same here. Doing. Same with me.
So it's a family building thing. It's a lot of fun. So,
oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, but part of what you brought up about the haunted house is just the evolution of haunted houses that I've seen since I've been a young kid, and just how everyone is trying to top the next one.
Oh, yeah.
The extremes they go to now, it's amazing, because the first haunted house I went to when I was in high school, I remember it was a bunch of guys in rubber masks running around trying to scare you as best they could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just with the effects with lights and with paint and with just, you know, the haunted houses that you start off where it's just a bunch of balloons that are filled up to capacity where you can't see anything as far as where you're going. They're always trying to outdo each other. It's fascinating how insane they've gotten now.
Oh, yeah. The production is better than some of the old horror movies that you're talking about. I mean, the budget on them. I mean, I was reading an interview with one of the guys that does a local haunted house. He works all year building his haunt that's only open for like a month and a half. The whole rest of the time he's building things and repairing things and bringing, you know, going to conventions and bringing in, and all the SFX on that is just insane.
Right, and especially I like the ones now where it's the low volume. You only let a couple of people in at a time. You go through different rooms, and it's just a really intense, terrifying experience. I still want to try one of those. There's one in LA that I'd like to go to. I'd love to go see Rob Zombie's American Nightmare. I mean, that's one of my bucket list road trips for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and what was this one? Eli Roth had that one open year-round in Vegas, but it didn't last. Yeah. I guess it was too intense, apparently. People didn't just want to go, like, pop out of the casino and, you know, go get the crap scared out of them and then, you know, go...
Spend more money.
But, no, man, so, you know, we're looking forward to it. We got a big party coming up this weekend, so... Everybody gets mad when Halloween's not on a Friday or a Saturday. I'm actually kind of happy because it means I get two.
Right.
And
right.
If Halloween happens midweek, like on a Wednesday, then you get the Saturday before and you get the Saturday after and you get the day of. It's like 3 days of Halloween, you know? It's like, so you always got to think positive that way, you know?
I saw a big debate the other day on Facebook about communities and townships that celebrate Halloween on the weekend if Halloween falls on a weekday. What do you feel about that?
As long as they're doing it on the weekday as well, I mean,
right?
I don't know. It's not like it's an official holiday or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not like 4th of July you can just move to a weekend because you want to sell beer.
Right.
But I really think that, you know, especially with having two young children coming up and all of the things that have been banned since I was a kid, I feel bad for mine. Just like, man, you can't, you know, I mean, just... You mentioned Rob Zombie. I mean, just going to concerts. I posted a picture on the internet, on Facebook the other day. I found an old Pantera shirt.
Yeah, I know.
It was just the name Pantera that I cut out or ripped out of a shirt that I used to have. That shirt got ripped in a pit at a White Zombie show. And I've mentioned to my wife recently, well, many, not recently, but in the last maybe 10 years, man, going to a concert, you used to come out smelling like sweat, and cigarettes and whiskey, and you know, your whole body was just kind of mellow from the loud. Now you go, it's quiet, you could talk to your neighbor and drown out the music. It smells like shampoo. There's no danger. I mean, even when you go to see a heavy metal band like Rob Zombie,
it's definitely not what it used to be, for sure.
You know, it's not even, I mean, it's not even that it was ever really scary, but it was like intense.
Right.
There was an intensity to it that is just not there anymore because they had to turn down the music because people sued because their ears.
Liability. That's what it's all about.
You know, insurance is so high.
Now you still have. Fortunately, you still have groups like War, Purists.
Yeah,
will continue the old traditions and everything. But yeah, for the most part, most of the, you know, the that 90s metal music, 90s and 80s, they've gotten old and they've changed the way they do things.
I saw Faith No More about a year ago and a pit broke out during that. It was pretty great.
Well, the last pit I was in was a Summer Sanatorium tour, which was Metallica, Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, a whole bunch of bands. And the Metallica pit was pretty intense for that one. I've seen Metallica three times. That was the most intense show. The last couple is just, yeah, they've, there's another group
they're,
of
they're
guys
getting
that
old
get
too.
Old. Yep.
They got old in the 90s. And they cut their hair and started playing sad blues.
Yeah.
Like, not exactly the same. It's called Side Project, bro.
Now, Megadeth Suicidal this year, they had a good pit, but I did not. I chose not to enter this year. So.
Well, the fact that you don't go in doesn't mean that the fact that it's there isn't cool. But no, back to your question. I don't know. I think it's lame. Like I said, I do celebrate. If it's in the midweek, I celebrate both sides and the day of, just because I've got, you know, I've got the yard decorations. I've got the, you know, maybe I could set up three events. To try to herd all of the kids out on a Saturday on November 2nd, because that's what... No, that's not Halloween.
Right.
That's not when all the... That's not when the Great Pumpkin comes.
Right.
Great Pumpkin comes on Halloween night, and if you're not there in the pumpkin patch, he's going to pass you by.
Right.
So, I'm kind of a purist on those sorts of things.
Yeah, I agree 100%. My thing is that, to me, it takes away the importance of Halloween. And to me, Halloween is a very important holiday, because the most important aspect of it is it allows kids and adults to, you know, understand their imaginations are still okay to be used. They can still do those things they did when they were young.
Oh, yeah.
Still pretend to be somebody else still, you know, and have those frightening experiences in that fantasy world. And that's important to me to maintain throughout life.
Yeah, man, I was on an internet forum a while back, a couple of years ago, when my daughter was first born. And there was another guy on there, and he's one of those, not to call out anybody, you know, but he was one of those angry atheists that wasn't just like didn't believe in one thing, but he was not only like he wasn't atheist, he was anti-theist. So any kind of celebration or festival, anything, and it didn't matter if it was tradition or Christian or pagan or anything, he was just like hated it. And he's like, yeah, you know, it's like, I'm not going to tell my son about Santa Claus. And I'm thinking, man, you're robbing this poor kid.
Yeah, let him enjoy it.
You know, and he's like, it's a lie. I'm like, dude, like, come on. Like, have some fun. Give your kid a little bit of wonder.
Right.
You don't have to believe in anything to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you throw on the grease paint and have a good, you know, have a cocktail or a Snicker bar, and you know, why you guys be so angry, bro?
I know, just enjoy it. You invest so much in being angry at everything that you lose sight of what's important.
So, man, you know, as soon as Halloween ends, the Haunters Retreat group's gonna probably turn into the Turkey Retreat group, into the Krampus Retreat group, into St. Patrick's and Easter, because I'm just like that, man. And it's fun.
Yeah, enjoy it. Make the best of it.
And, you know, it's time with your family, it's time with your kids. You know, life is short, man. You know, you got every other day to sit around, watch TV, and be pissed off at politics, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed. That's for sure.
So what are some of your go-to movies on Halloween, man? You have Halloween, those, like, have-to-watch. You got to see them or else it doesn't quite count.
Oh, yeah. I've been through a few of them already this year for the season. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one that I have to watch every year on Halloween. Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, all those traditional movies. Those are some just... I have to watch those every year.
What's the best Friday?
The best Friday, I would have to say, is 2.
2?
Yep.
So I like 4.
Okay. See, 2 to me was the best one. That one, that's where you really learned about, you know, the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the beast that is.
Yeah.
Three was campy. I think where 2 was wedged is one of the reasons I like it so much, because 3 was just, the 3D one was just horrible.
Oh, yeah.
That was just ridiculous.
Well, I like those first, I like the first 4. I even like 3. But, I mean...
3 was good, but compared to 2, it made 2 look like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre masterpiece.
You know? Right. You know, I enjoy 4. There's just something about it. It's... for lack of a better word, I just think it's scarier than the others.
Yeah.
It's got a couple of really good jump scares, and, you know, that's the one where, at the end, he slides down the machete that's, you know...
Yeah.
It's got that kind of gore thing going on.
Yeah.
And
of course, one of my other ones is Halloween. You know, I got to watch Halloween, and it's weird. You know, Halloween 1, the original, is one I have to watch. Rob Zombie's remake, and then the Halloween with the mask. Halloween 3. That's the one. There's something about it.
I haven't seen Season of the Witch in probably 20 years, and I've been seeing it pop up more and more on these like underrated classics discussions. And I remember. I don't ever remember not liking it. I remember being like, wait, where's Michael?
Yeah.
And just kind of dismissing it. But I have almost no memory of that movie, and I need to pull it.
Because it'll spark some memories from when you watched it when you were a kid. Because, it was scary. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing when you were young watching that, it was a scary movie. I enjoyed it a lot.
But I remember they were, with Friday the 13th and with Halloween, they were going to do kind of like a Tales from the Dark Side sort of thing, where like every movie was a different story,
right.
Then those characters just took off in popularity. Yeah. So, you know.
I mean, they're icons in, you know, American horror, period, you know.
So, so I need to pick up the Season of the Witch.
Yeah, definitely check it out, for sure, man, for sure.
Because for me, man, you've seen Trick or Treat?
Yes, yes.
That's
another one that definitely
is. That's one of those that I can just stick, you know, throw it on, just like have it playing in the background and come into it and out of it. You know, it's like a decoration. You can just have it on.
That gets to one of those movies where, you know, just like Silver Bullet, I watch Silver Bullet every time it's on TV. So Halloween is just when I get to those old ones that I haven't seen all year.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm constantly watching horror movies. That's our go-to, you know.
That's me. It's weird. If I can't, like, if it's not a superhero movie or a horror movie, my wife was like, hey, do you want to watch, you know, poofy shirted people kissing in France? And I'm like, nah, not really.
Right.
I mean, it's probably a great movie. Oh, it won all kinds of awards. Is it scary?
Yeah. No. Does it keep my attention going the whole time?
Does it have Captain America or Batman in it? No. Eh. I'm good.
That's usually one of those movies I put on when it's time to go to bed. Help me fall asleep.
But that's the thing. Like, there's a couple things. One thing, my wife has like a... best thing to call it is like an allergy. She can't take the acid in like marinara sauce. So she can't... We don't eat spaghetti because it upsets her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, she's, you know, when she was still in college and her sisters were still at home, every few months she would go up to Dallas and visit her folks, you know, visit her dad and her stepsisters. And we, at the time, we worked in bars. I knew every bartender, mm-hmm. all these, you know. And she said one time, you know, it's like somebody was like, oh, you know, you're going out of town, you're leaving him home alone, he's got the key to the city, what's he going to be doing? She like rolls her eyes, she's like, he's going to make spaghetti and sit and watch horror movies, because those are the things he can't.
Same thing. I grew up in the country, and my thing was when I was married is I eat disgusting things, because my mom grew up on a farm, and when my ex-wife was gone, that was my time to go ahead and cook the disgusting things and watch horror movies the entire time she was gone. So
this stuff she don't like.
Yeah, just, yeah, you know. I was right there with you on that one, man, for sure.
Yeah, that's some traditions. Yeah, she went to Colorado a couple weeks ago, and cooked up big old thing of spaghetti, and me and my daughter sat there and watched Great Pumpkin.
Yep.
You know, Nightmare Before Christmas, kind of get them started. Nice. On that, you know, kind of doling out the line a little bit.
What's going on with Nightmare Before Christmas? Because all of a sudden there's a ton of merch coming out.
Disney.
Okay.
There,
I didn't know if there was a movie coming out or what.
I don't think there's going to be a movie.
And it's everywhere. Yeah. Walgreens, Walmart, Books A Million, tons.
Every
of
year it just gets more and more.
Okay.
It started off, I guess, maybe 10 years ago or something in like Hot Topic.
Okay.
They started putting out some stuff and it sold out. And so I guess Disney's just going to keep
hitting
pushing
the cash
it out.
Cow, yeah. Pushing some more, right?
They're pushing as much as they can. Because, I mean, now it's just hit 20 years. You know, like maybe a year ago, it hit 20 years that it's been out.
Oh, wow.
So it's a full-on Halloween / Christmas classic.
Yeah.
It's, you know, pretty untouchable, and it's still got a lot of momentum.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
It's a great movie, man.
Yeah, you know, my
it's
sister... Great. God, dude, my sister just turned 21 when she was a baby, when she was a year and a half. She's sitting there singing the song, you know, like, I am the clown with the tearaway face. little baby sitting there just like, ah, look, it's vampires. So, you know, and she's old enough to have kids now. She better not, but she could.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's a whole nother generation.
Yeah, people coming up. Passing on to their kids, right.
So, but yeah, man, I don't know. I've seen a lot, too. I've got, you know, I made my own. Walgreens ain't selling like 7 foot tall yard decorations.
Yeah, so. They're not going to have those. Not to the detail you have, for sure.
But speaking of making things, we're going to make some stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about a couple of things that we got coming up. We're talking about building horror-related things. We're doing, you know, we're going to continue building the forum. We're going to relaunch the blog. I'm going to start trying to work with the artist guy on the site that I can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't remember.
We talked about doing some charity work, you know, trying to get some stuff going like that. But basically, we're going to be building quite a few horror-related outlets for this to kind of turn into a year-long venture. So you guys need to stay tuned with that. And I was going to say I'm building something, but I can't remember what it is. So
and it, like I said earlier, we want this to be just, you know, a movement, you know,
right.
Like-minded individuals that. You know, I know me and Billy could sit here and talk forever about horror, and I know we're not the only two. And it's just that I know there's a lot of people out there that have the same, you know, love and, you know, just passion with it, and just getting together and seeing where we could take it, you know.
And to be fair, you know, this is kind of our reintroductory episode. Future episodes will be a little bit more themed. We're going to bring to you movies, both old and new. I wrote a review on the comic series Sandman the other day, and some writer friends of mine on another forum, I asked them if they'd ever read it. They'd never even heard of it. I was like, how could you be a fan of Neil Gaiman and not know about the Sandman? No joke. So, we're gonna be bringing some information. We're gonna be reviewing old stuff and new stuff.
Well, the number of times I'm talking to somebody about Hellblazer, and I have to say, you know, Constantine.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that movie. I'm like, yeah, you know, it was a comic book long before it was a movie.
Hellboy.
They have no clue. Yeah, Hellboy.
I'll know that. Another that's one. A comic book. So, stay tuned. If you want to kind of hop on the bus early here, you know where the website is. It's at scarydad.com. That's where you're going to be downloading this episode. But if you want to see us, talk to us in person, you check out the Houston Haunters Retreat Facebook group. If you want to go to houstonhauntersretreat.com, there is a link to the group on there. There's not a whole lot of content there because I just bought it to park it for some of the things that we're going to do here in the future. And with that, you know, hit us up on the Facebook, hit us up at scarydad.com, like the page, read a blog, share it, kind of get us some exposure.
And our Twitter is starting to crank up. We're going to go ahead. I'll get that information out on our next podcast, just so you can have a place to pay attention to see some of the things we have coming, because we've got some really exciting things coming.
And with that, man, we're done. Stay scary.